Hey there, this is The Real Thing. On this episode, we're celebrating 30 years of rage. Now, Mike Williams,
hey,
are you
hey,
you're
here?
You're
yeah,
okay,
it.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. Let's get into it. One, two, three.
Rage!
It was a process by which share houses existed. It was a process by which people courted. You kind of passed out in front of rage.
You get home half pissed or, you know, off your face or whatever, and, you know, you switch it on and you think, oh, I'll just watch one clip and then I'll go to bed and then...
Our aim is to just make you keep going, oh, just until the end of this one. Oh, this one's kind of interesting.
One more clip.
No, until the end of this one. Why is that guy's head on fire?
4 hours later, you're still there.
That's the rage trap. Just being lured into staying up all night.
The appointment of David Hill as managing director of the ABC came as no real surprise to many people.
The story of rage begins in 1986.
And David Hill joins
the ABC had just got a new managing director.
I should say good morning, boss, I suppose.
Well, that's nice, but...
David Hill was on a war path. And for good reason.
You've seen this huge slide where we've got to face the reality. Fewer and fewer Australians are tuning into the ABC at all. Now, I regard that as the great crisis facing the ABC.
Audiences were switching off, so one of the ABC's best TV producers was going to help fix the situation.
Oh, baby, you're so good to me.
This guy.
Oh, my name is Mark Fitzgerald. I've been involved with television for over 40 years, and for some reason, I'm still involved.
To be honest, I think it's a disaster area.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same on Friday nights. I think all of weekend needs a shot in the arm.
Amongst a bunch of changes, it meant this.
That the ABC was going to go 24 hours.
That's all for this Thursday night. Thanks again for being with us. From all of us here at ABC, good night.
Because before that, it used to stop.
It's hard to imagine, but at midnight, TV and radio used to just say, see ya, it's midnight, go to bed, and then switch off. So it was a big deal that the ABC was going 24 hours. But there was just one problem.
It really hadn't been discussed. So then there was a scramble.
Mark got the call to figure out how they'd fill a lot of airtime for not a lot of money.
The easiest way to do it would be if they had music clips.
It wasn't this idea to have a great musical narrative and get fans involved. It was more a necessity to have lots of content, and that just happened to be free content you could get was film clips.
That's right, that's right. There wasn't any particular philosophy.
Something's happening to ABC TV screens tonight. We're going 24 hours on Fridays and Saturdays. From around midnight, you'll be able to rage all night long.
Rage is the start of what is eventually expected to be 24-hour transmission 7 days a week by the ABC. More than 200 clips will go into each program, which is being billed as non-stop music. And for the first time, many country areas will benefit.
The concept of back-to-back music clip shows wasn't new. MTV had been around in America for 5 years. In Australia, commercial networks were starting their own music video programs too. All of this helped fuel Mark's vision.
I decided to make Rage as different as possible and emphasise the real differences that it had. No compare, no commercials. It would be wall-to-wall music and it would be unrelenting.
This unrelenting attitude shaped the three core elements that keep rage being rage. And the first is the name itself.
Taking that point of view, I came up with the name Rage Till You Puke.
Do you remember on Triple J?
How are you, Lillian?
Oh, I'm marvellous.
Do you remember Lillian Pascoe?
Listen, Ian Pitt, are you a heavy metallurgist? I'm talking about the Rads, Akadaka, Rosie Tats.
The what, lovey?
Akadaka.
She played a character like a heavy metal pensioner. And her favourite saying was,
rage till you puke.
Rage till you puke on JJJ.
When it went to the ABC commissioning process, Michael Shrimpton, the person who was trying to get it commissioned, rang me just before and said, now, look, I can't go in and do a presentation for a show called Rage Till You Puke. And I said, okay, well, we'll call it Rage.
What's your first memory of Rage?
Probably the logo. It stood out.
The person who came up with the logo, I don't even know what her name was, because she was the on-duty graphics person that night.
Rage's logo is simple. Four lowercase letters in Technicolor.
I wanted a logo where the colours looked like vomit.
Rage till you puke!
They had a name and a logo inspired by vomit, but there was something else they'd need to throw up. Unrelenting, loud and unique. Just what Mark wanted. At best, memorable. At worst, maybe a little...
annoying. The opening titles themselves had a total budget of $800. Top weight.
The track that was used in the intro was based on Johnny O'Keefe's Real Wild One. Johnny was Australia's first rock and roll star. He was big time in the 50s.
Well, I'm just out of school, back up real, real cool. Gotta shake, gotta jive, got the message that I gotta be alive. I'm a wild one. Ooh, yeah.
By the early 60s, he was hosting 6 O'Clock Rock, a trailblazing new music show on the ABC.
Come on, everybody, it's 6 O'Clock.
The decision to use J.O.K. in the Rage intro could not have been coincidence.
I wanted something that represented contemporary music at the time, but somehow had this connection to the past and had a real strong Australian connection.
Enter Iggy Pop and his 1986 cover, Real Wild Child.
I often thought about Midnight to Dawn. Who's going to watch this at 2 o'clock in the morning? Well, it turns out lots of people do it. And I still do it.
Keith Walker was the sound engineer who helped create the opening titles.
We walked in there and sort of had no idea how it was going to come out. But one of the great things about ABC is that you had limits. You know, you didn't have unlimited studio time.
When Keith says limited, he means they had one day.
I remember the morning. Mark came in, picked out some tracks and started putting this stuff together.
They got lucky. In the studio was a brand new secret weapon. It was an
It was called an AMS 1580S. That was the first real delay that allowed anyone, I think, anywhere to be able to do real-time sampling. In other words, sample something and then instantly play it back.
Now, sampling wasn't new, but it was hard to do. But this machine was powerful. It allowed a whole new sound.
If there was a syllable sort of like rage, we could go rage, 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 rage. But we weren't really thinking about this. We were just sort of doing it. It was like sort of having this great canvas and being able to sort of paint a picture and create all these colours and then throw it all together and see how it came out.
And I said, oh, that's not too bad. So what are we going to do to improve it? And Keith said, oh, we don't have to.
Keith's a relaxed guy.
What you hear today is what we did 30 years ago.
And we actually did it in one take.
Not thinking this was going to be around in 30. We were thinking maybe 6 weeks.
Okay, this was just a bunch of guys who had a couple of hours and they're just hitting the button. And then that's how you get a theme. There wasn't a lot of thought put into it.
No, there wasn't a lot of thought. I mean, there was some thought. Basically, we took some sounds and we threw them together in a way that we thought was interesting, musical and exciting.
Am I just overanalyzing?
Yeah, you are. Yes.
Bust it.
And then the vision, my cameraman, Colin Bromley, we went around the ABC at Gore Hill and just shot staff members miming Rage, not knowing what they were doing. Then we went back to the office.
Here's the genius bit.
And I had an old piece of Perspex and we put it up against the monitor. And then he shot through the Perspex the bending of the faces as they were doing Rage.
So they had a name, logo, a freshly made intro. Too easy. The deadline for the first program arrived, but there was just one problem.
The flaw was that how do you get the film clips to air? The ABC did have lots of clips, but the problem was they were all on these reel-to-reel tapes, these one-inch masters, and we were running out of time.
The tapes had to be copied in real time. In 1987, there was no way around it. Now, if it wasn't for a guy in ABC transmission, one man named Michael Pollard, who made this problem his own, who took the weight of the national broadcaster on his shoulders, if it wasn't for him, that first episode might never have got to air.
He basically decided he'd just stay up day and night dubbing clips. And eventually we ended up with just enough clips for the first weekend.
Thank you, Michael.
Rage! The following hour of Rage is rated PG. Parental guidance is recommended for persons under 15 years.
Okay, whether Vine's in or you know what you're watching, so get off my case, all right? Rage.
Rage. You wake up.
You're watching Rage.
Rage. R-A-G-E. R-A-G-E.
Rage. Rage really never had a proper budget. You know, I was always scraping and clawing and begging and pleading. It was actually quite stressful because so much of Rage went to air on the goodwill of people in the ABC.
Stephanie Lewis was the first Rage producer.
Music was my life. You know, I lived, breathed music. I'd be out to music virtually every single night.
She was working in a different department when she decided her dream job was to work on Rage.
I remember wandering over to his desk at one stage and there were sheets of programming, you know, just handwritten on his desk, and I saw that they were in alphabetical order. ABBA, followed by AC/DC, followed by whatever was next in the alphabet. And I said to Mark, I can do better than this. I can do better than this. So I just hounded him again.
Mark said, please leave me alone. Rage had been going okay for about 3 years now, but Stephanie knew the program could be more.
What's your name?
Richard Kingsmill.
One night I was listening to Richard Kingsmill with a friend of mine, and we're going, oh, this is really good. This is really good.
They were this unique group who kind of soundtracked the way we wanted to live. Gave us a license to behave in a certain way almost.
Richard had a show. He'd get artists in and they would talk about music that they liked. So essentially they were programming and they'd discuss it. So one thing led to another, and on the Monday I went into Mark and I said, oh, what do you think about this?
The guest programmer idea came in with Stephanie.
Mark loved the idea. He found some money. Stephanie joined the team. It was the perfect way to keep the show interesting. But it had to be done right.
You know, one of the things about Rage up until then is, well, you hadn't seen a human face, really.
For loving it, is the Midnight Oil album. It's a superb album.
Well, the host on TV anyway is a really important figure. But for music as well, the host was, well, they say the arbiter of taste, the person who was meant to give you an indication of what you should like or not.
The production on this is just mind-boggling.
Rage, of course, was different.
Rage almost implies then, you know, we don't need somebody to introduce the audience to the music. They can work it out themselves.
That's Liz Jaffray, writer and UTS lecturer on music and culture. Not having an ongoing presenter kept Rage cheap, and it also made it timeless. A revolving guest presenter would complement that.
They are guests and they are just there to pick music. They're not there to welcome you in the same way and to hold the program together.
Do you remember the first guest programmer?
I do.
To be the first guest programmer on Rage is a tiny little feather I love having in my cap.
It was Andrew Denton.
The Rage people picked me simply because Mark Fitzgerald, who is the EP of Rage, was also the EP of The Money or the Gun.
I didn't make a big deal about it at the time. I just said,
I was just the guy in the office. Like, what about you?
We're going to have a guest programmer and how about you give it a go?
It was in my little...
So we went to his house in Glebe.
In the inner west of Sydney. It was in my bedroom, in my own bed.
Okay, we're rolling.
And Mark had this idea that I should wake him up to guest program Rage.
Andrew, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Going to program Rage tonight, Andrew.
Oh, what? There's a camera crew in my bedroom.
I had some stuffed toys. I just made it all up as I went along. It was pretty basic and it was just fun.
Rage!
How was that? I was a big fan of Rage. You know, just one more clip, and I'd be, suddenly be 4 o'clock in the morning. So when I was given the opportunity, it's a very serious medium, rock clips, I think. So to see something that was genuinely funny and be able to put it up there was great.
Denton's thoughtful curation set the tone. Rage guest presenters would go on to use the platform to educate the nation, and its influence has been massive.
And that's why I think so many people have taken up the offer, because it's like, I want to share great stuff.
And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23.
I was just trying to do Rage and our band justice. I just wanted to do a really good job. I felt like this was a time that I could show, you know, Australia the kind of music that I love only close friends would know.
Imagining me watching it for the first time, introducing music that might be inspiring to someone else.
Because that had happened to us.
Yeah.
My name is Patience Hodson and I am the singer for The Greats.
And my name's John Patterson and I play guitar in The Greats. Well, we decided to form our band while we were watching Rage. We were at Patience's old share house one night after probably going out and seeing a band, and we were sitting down on a Friday night with all our new videos. Alana and I were playing in bands at the time, but a video for Kato Salsa Experience came on that was just garage rock, and I think there was a lot of garage rock happening at the time.
I can do that.
And Patience just thought I could do that.
It's like something I could totally do, running around, having fun. You guys do it can't be that hard. I want to do it. And then you guys were like, yeah, okay, awesome, done. And we continued watching Rage. And then I think on Sunday I came round to your dad's shed and then we started playing music.
Hosting Rage is such a big deal because only a handful of artists get asked.
Rage at the time had a producer called Narelle.
This is former ABC TV entertainment boss Paul Clark.
She was as tough a producer as anybody that you could ever meet in any part of the entertainment industry, and she had to be.
She was, like, really strict about who got on, and it was known that you just couldn't get on Rage.
And I would sit there and say no, 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 no to 95% of who was pitched. The policy was fairly, you know, they have to be right, they have to be, you know, suit the program.
Now I feel like we've made it into, like, history of Australian rock and roll because we got to host Rage. Like, we can go down as, yeah, we hosted it one time.
I know many, many Australian musicians have said to me that being a Rage guest programmer and having that spot on the couch meant that you'd finally really made it.
Where were you at in your career when you were asked?
I'd made it, baby. No. My name is Josh Pike and I'm a musician. Being asked to program Rage is a massive honour. When I was a kid, I watched Rage a lot. Found a TV on the side of the road, which worked if you kind of smacked it a few times. And as soon as I had that in my bedroom, I was watching Rage as often as I could every Friday, Saturday night. Hi, this is Josh Pike. I'm Rage for you. I decided the songs to choose for Rage. They give you a massive book to go through. It's like a telephone book-sized folder with every option that you have access to, but you can also ask for random ones as well. So I went through that and I decided to pick songs that had some kind of impact on my life as a music listener. Metal, then moved into grunge, then moved into indie, through to singer-songwriter stuff like Elliott Smith. Everyone has a dollar
sign after their name. When Rage started, it was most often shot in hotel rooms, which is why they actually started shooting in that black and white blue cast, because hotel rooms are always a really boring colour.
Maddie Palmer was a Rage programmer from 2008 to 2012. Here she's showing me around the Rage studio. It's not what I was expecting.
I just thought this was an office.
No, it's actually our studio. And so, yeah, all these sort of like stereos and lights and speakers, we just kind of spread around.
Oh, okay, nice.
That's the couch we've had for about 10 years.
This is the Rage couch.
That is the Rage couch, yeah.
Right, it's very small.
It is very tiny. But we have a bigger one now, which we haven't used yet.
And you're watching Rage.
It sort of looks dark and like it's nighttime, but, you know, the guest is in a couch in a dark room and the audience is in a couch in a dark room and they're sort of talking through the TV. So you want it to feel a bit like a dark living room. A lot of the time their performance seems a little bit more intimate because they're not sitting on a really bright TV studio stage with an audience.
Hey, good morning, we're the Beastie Boys.
Rage.
Hi, I'm Missy Higgins.
Hello, children. I'm Alice Cooper. I will be your teacher tonight.
If you're watching Rage and feeling discomfort or lower back pain, it's nothing to do with your TV set.
Of course she's crazy. I mean, every musician is. That's not really the point, is it?
You are watching Rage here with me, Lily Allen.
They gave me a chance to have a video show. I mean, what stupid idiot ain't gonna pick one of his own videos?
We're Tenacious D.
Yeah, we're the Prodigy.
How did the ABC get us to do this?
We're supposed to say we're Metallica.
Hey there, I'm Tori Amos. I'm your hostess tonight.
Hi, I'm Roisin from Maloka, and this is...
Hey, I'm Ben Queller, and I'm on Rage.
Rage.
While the policy on choosing guest presenters is tight, selecting music video clips is a different story.
It's been the place where local artists could stand up next to international artists with relatively little interference. The thing about Rage was they literally would play UMI next to Michael Jackson. Commercial TV wouldn't necessarily let you muck around that much. Rage still has to keep its audience, but Rage doesn't mind if you watch at 11 o'clock at night or 5 a.m. or 7 a.m. It doesn't matter, as they just want you to engage, which means that Rage then can be really, really diverse.
And that especially includes independent Australian artists.
And that idea of local access was something that has also been taken the piss out of.
The idea behind my little cheeky little prank of getting a clip on Rage was...
John Safran.
The way funky video clips look, and with the camera going here, the camera going there, like, you know, anyone could pretty much get a video clip on Rage and it just looked kind of normal. And I, to demonstrate this, I strapped a camera to the back of a dog.
I reckon a dog could get a video on Rage.
And got him just to, like, walk around. Then I cut that footage together and then sent it into Rage and it got on.
Here you go, Forrest. 5 a.m. Just before Roots Maneuver and Janet Jackson is you, the Forrest Frolic by Forrest.
Rage. I guess a lot of people think that he kind of fooled the Rage programmers, that he like snuck it under the radar and it was a big trick. But I mean, I am proud that Rage is a place that people can submit a video clip that they might have made themselves and think that it can really be played, and it will be. If it's good, it will be played.
We don't really pay attention to where a video comes from, so if it just rocks up in the mail from, you know, anyone in the country, we'll treat it exactly the same as if it comes via a manager or a record label. The main thing we're thinking about is if you're sitting at home on your couch, even if it is sort of 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, what's the clip that's going to make you go, oh, okay, it's time to go to bed?
It outstayed its welcome a tiny bit,
yeah,
it was
too long.
But maybe for later in the night.
Like around 4 a.m.-ish, yeah, maybe?
I think I could benefit definitely from being played later.
Yeah. And it's M-rated because of the coarse language.
Local artists didn't have a lot of money but deserved their access to music television. That's part of Rage's charm now, I think. That's part of the Rage brand.
It's quarter to four on this Friday night. I've just woken up and I'm on my way to watch Rage with a local band. They've got their song on the show tonight, somewhere between 4 and 6 a.m.
Hey, how you going?
Right. I'm with Joe and Josh from the band Monks of Melanoir. When you made the film clip, did you have Rage in mind?
Oh, that was like...
Definitely, that's like the first thing we thought of, like Rage.
And it was like a long-term goal. Like for me, I thought it was so far-fetched to even start entertaining those thoughts.
We all grew up on it, waking up on a Saturday morning, sit there for 2 hours, watch Rage and hear all the new music. It was awesome.
it's a bit weird that any clip could be... Oh,
hefty.
Here you go. Oh, this is it. I'm really not keen to see my face.
What's it like seeing yourself on TV?
Possibly one of the weirdest experiences.
That's awesome.
Because
that's so cool.
Here's your guitar solo, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Great.
cool.
And it's over just like that.
Yeah, I know.
The craziest thing to think that random people can put this on if they're up this early and like hear our song. It's just...
It is 4 a.m. in the morning.
It is. I'm sure there's at least 10 people out there that are that bothered, like getting ready for work. And to those 10 people, I sincerely hope they enjoyed it.
Thirty years is a long time to have the same format, logo and intro. It's not surprising then that some ABC manager would want to come along and screw with something. The titles became the target.
The Rage titles became etched in so many people's memories because, you know, so many people would probably have fallen asleep in front of the television only to be woken up by the scream.
Are you saying the titles and the ident of Rage are etched in people's subconscious?
That scream, yes, I think so.
They'd go, all right, let's just change the titles. We'll get some really good titles. Right, how can we stave this off this time?
There was a vote on Triple J for whether the Rage titles should change.
They are so iconic, they're so fun, they're so bogan.
And the vote was they shouldn't change.
I didn't want to have on my gravestone that I was the guy that f***ed up the Rage titles.
No, look, no, that's not good enough.
Quite seriously, if there'd been something that came back that was really impressive, we probably would have been staffed. But there was never anything that came up that was as iconic and clever. Most of the ideas were just vomiters.
Ironic, considering the original Rage titles were based on vomit. And as for the future of the iconic Rage intro, yeah, I don't think you have much to worry about.
If we ever did anything to alter them, we'd have our heads on a stick pretty much.
Tyson Coe has been a Rage programmer for the past 5 years.
Still, I have to kind of pinch myself and count myself really lucky that I'm working on such an iconic program.
During Tyson's time, the program has adapted. As well as Friday and Saturday nights, Rage is on ABC Me most nights of the week, and you can watch it anytime on ABC iView.
So, yeah, it is a challenge to try and move the show forward as technology and people's habits change, but also maintain what I believe is true to the Rage format.
But however you watch it, Rage will always have a job to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's just something to be said about being on a couch and not having to, you know, have your hand glued to the mouse or type something in and just being able to watch stuff that you might not have thought to look up when you are on YouTube.
And that's why the ABC will hopefully continue maintaining the Rage for years to come.
Rage was like a little tribal tradition. It's uniquely Australian. It's conceived here. It's thought up here. It was the only thing on, and you were very happy that it was the only thing on.
It belongs to everyone.
It does. It belongs to the nation.
I love that you can still do that on a Friday night. You know, you've got something to come home to.
Like a lot of the best shows the ABC's done, it's been a great space.
Rage has become an institution in itself. The ritual of watching Rage is something that we've had happen for a generation or so now.
It was just a video clip show, but arguably it was the best video show in the world, and it informed a complete generation of people. They lived and kind of collapsed by Rage.
Thank you to all our guests for sharing their time and their love for Rage. And the Rage celebrations don't have to end here. They're not going to. If you like this, you'll love the TV doco. Search iView for Rage 30, the story of Rage, and also Rage 30 stories from the red couch. It's a very comfy couch. This episode of The Real Thing is a simul podcast with our friends over at Double J's The J-Files.
Is that a thing? Did we just invent that?
I think so.
We invented the simul podcast.
Yay for us.
Hey, Gab from the J-Files is with us now. The J-Files do music docos like this every week, right?
Every single week, yeah. So, yeah, we just dive into all your favourite artists, have a look behind the scenes, kind of find out from them how some of your favourite music is written.
And who's been on the show recently?
Well, just a little band called Talking Heads was a recent one.
Never heard of them.
Don't know Talking Heads? Psycho killer. Righty.
Who else?
So a great comedy mashup of all your favourite, the funniest songs in the world ever. And Pavement. Good old Steve Malcolmus. Why not?
Fantastic. So we can hear the J Files every Thursday night from 8 p.m. on Double J, but we can also get it anytime.
Yes, anytime, every week, the J-Files podcast is your friend.
Okay, get it via iTunes, however you get your podcasts, and also the ABC Radio app.
Now, on the Real Thing front, Mike and I, we are working very hard right now for you on Season 2. Late May is when you're going to start seeing it, so keep an eye out for us.
I'm Mike Williams.
I'm Timothy Nicastri.
That's Episode 11 of The Real Thing.